Doctor, doctor, what a pleasant surprise. Look who's in the studio, Bill.
That would be Doc Emrick, who, in my opinion, and I hope your opinion as well, Wendy, calls a hockey game like nobody else in history.
Absolutely,
100%.
This
guy paints a picture of hockey that is unparalleled.
Thank you.
How are you, Doc? It's so good to see you.
Terrific. I'm terrific. I had a wonderful summer. I listened to you guys a lot.
Oh, you're so nice.
And
thank you.
Those of you watching on cameras today, I'm sitting up straight because I learned by listening to Bill and Wendy that I can burn 350 calories.
Just by sitting up straight.
Yeah. That was one of my favorites this summer. The guy from Michigan that had the back hair calendar.
right.
And you said something about doing Dutch Masters on his
right.
Back.
Did you show that? Thank you.
I did.
That's very kind of you.
I
thanks,
did.
Doc.
I guess I'm easy, but
no,
yeah, that was,
come on.
Yeah. No, and there were a couple of times that I did send a message to Steve Bertrand to come down here and hand out a few penalties.
Oh, he has done that on occasion.
Should,
yeah, he has done
there
that.
There were days I was worried about both of you taking coincidental majors.
Oh, yeah, I know. That happens sometimes. And by the way, people have been asking where Steve Bertrand is. He's in Ireland. He's on a so he did
right.
have surgery before. He's not ill. He's vacationing
with
and he'll
Bertrand
be
travel.
He'll be back Friday.
Yeah.
For our live remote.
Yep. Wednesday is the start of the Blackhawks season.
Now, that'd be tomorrow.
That would be tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you make of this team, of the new addition of the Blackhawks? What do you think?
It'd be real interesting. There'll be some guys that won't sleep tonight because half a dozen guys tomorrow are likely, based on the line combinations today, are likely to be playing inside of their first game or under 10 games in the NHL that they will have ever played. There's a guy from a little town where I was this morning, St. Clair, Michigan, 5,000, half a mile from Canada, named Tyler Mott. First game ever. He has been watched at the University of Michigan by somebody named Manfredini, the young student there at Yost Fields House, as he played for the Wolverines the last 3 years. And he's going to be probably on a line with Marcus Kruger and Ryan Hartman tomorrow.
Well, I want to know, Lou Manfredini now is...
a hockey scout.
Yeah, that's what he does. I didn't know that that's...
I've been inviting him to a game at Yost Field House while his son is there for quite some time because I told him, I said, look, this is an old place. Forget your job when you walk in there. It's old. It's going to need some things.
Right. All
you
this
don't
want to
just go in there and watch and enjoy the game. He hasn't been able to do it with schedules and everything else. Nick Schmaltz is probably going to be a fourth line center, so this will be new to him. Michael Kempney is one of the defensemen that will probably be playing tomorrow night, probably with Brent Seabrook. Gustav Forsling, who is from Sweden, has not played in the NHL, probably tomorrow night. So these are guys that are going to be very excited to play. And you'll have, of course, the usual core of guys that are very experienced there with them. So that makes it an X factor. St. Louis makes it an X factor, too, because three guys of real snarl are gone. Steve Ott, gone. Troy Brouwer, gone. David Backes, the captain, gone. That'll be a different look for them tomorrow night, too. So this is all fascinating. It's everybody's 0-0. And you walk in there tomorrow night, and it'll be a bunch of excited kids. They're going to be playing alongside seasoned veterans for the Blackhawks. You'll have your number two jersey on.
I know, I will.
And
how's
they'll drop the
doing?
Puck after the anthem, and we assume okay, because he came back a little earlier than I thought he was going to be back in the lineup for preseason. And he is considered a regular today, playing with Van Riemsdyk, likely as a defense pair tomorrow night.
Awesome. Who, in your opinion, Doc, was the biggest loss from last year's edition of the Blackhawks to this one? My vote goes to Andrew Shaw. Is that yours as well?
Yeah. For the sake of snarl and everything else, Jordan Tootoo is sort of an answer in a way in my mind to Shaw. But he, you know, he's played a couple of other places, Nashville and Detroit. So he's built like a fire plug. And he has the same sort of character, and he's the fourth-line right winger.
He is the son of the Reverend Desmond Tutu. People don't know that about him, but he's got that in his background.
Yes, and
that's not
Wendy,
true.
Wendy always has these little nuggets, too, that are very impressive as well.
Sure.
Yes, and Marcus Kruger, of course, is related to Freddy, who
yep,
was
right.
in the slasher movies.
And Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
I've heard people say this in the past, that the salary cap is the Blackhawks' biggest enemy. Let's get rid of that salary cap. We don't need it anymore.
Yeah, we are now up to around 70 million and change. And when we went to the salary cap out of a one-year hiatus, the two biggest spenders were the New York Rangers and the Detroit Red Wings, and they were at 72. So we have now gotten back to the cap was where the biggest spenders were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That is only an interesting nugget. I don't know what the philosophy can be at that point. You have Pavel Datsyuk, who is being paid but not being paid by the Arizona Coyotes because they need to reach the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of these curious things can happen
mm-hmm.
when you have a minimum and a maximum that you must pay. It is remarkable that the Blackhawks have negotiated their way through this and have been so successful over the last seven seasons when they have had this challenge every year. I'll never forget the first year that they won in Philadelphia. Going into the playoffs, Eddie Olczyk and I were about to start the playoffs, and he said, look at these guys. They won't be together next year. About half this team's going to be gone. They better win. I said, what? He said, yeah, the contracts are going to be prohibitive going from this year to next. And Dale Tallon was there at the time, and there it is. They won the championship, and sure enough,
yeah.
a bunch of the guys were gone. And sure enough, they weren't that bad the next year.
yeah.
And in the years that followed, they won two more times. That's a kind of success rate we don't see much anymore.
Well, I'm excited for hockey to start. I'm looking forward to it. Are the lines going to change at all?
Well, right now it looks as though it'll be Ponik on the left with Taves at center and his familiar right winger in Marian Hossa. And Panarin and Kane will be together with Anisimov. That's what they showed today, and that's what they showed last year. So that'll be familiar. And there'll be some exciting young guys, as I talked about, in the third and fourth lines tomorrow night. And in the second and third defense combinations, there'll be some guys getting their feet wet.
How exciting.
It'll be fun. Oh, I know it is, isn't it?
It really is. And then if they score, the crowd's going to go crazy if they hit their first goal being a new person. I can't even imagine the pressure. Seriously.
You know, I don't usually sleep the night before the opening game, and this goes all the way back to Port Huron and Muskegon in 1974.
Really?
It's not like you're not nervous, you're just excited because
it's like Christmas, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's the greatest thing. Everybody is unblemished. No one has made a mistake,
yeah.
including myself. you know, give us 5 minutes. But yeah, it's phenomenal and it's exciting. And here there's that extra bit of excitement. We are going to take the anthem tomorrow night because that's just, it's like no other place.
Yeah.
And you try to say as little as possible because the crowd carries it. Frank Pellico and Jim Cornelissen carry it. And you say as little as possible, and pretty soon you have to give the goaltenders and start the game.
Right.
But it's a magnificent whole thing that gets you ready for the start
sure.
of a game. And I'm glad that we're opening the season here.
Yeah.
And then we have a game. We all pack up and head out to O'Hare at about, well, before you guys are up. Steve is probably up at that hour by the time we head out to O'Hare because we have Washington and Pittsburgh and their banner raising the next night.
Oh, you do. Yeah. It's a full schedule. Doc
Evans. Turnaround.
Yeah, very fast.
Does Duncan Keith need a ride to the airport?
Wendy was volunteering for that.
He won't be going to Pittsburgh. I think he'll be available probably for a ride to practice or something.
All right.
Think about it. The great Doc Emmerich is our guest. We're talking about the beginning of Blackhawks hockey, which starts tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio. More after this is Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, our friend, I can't even tell you how much we appreciate your visiting us. His name is Doc Emmerich, or Mike Emmerich. I don't know he has a mic.
Yeah,
who calls you that?
Joyce does, my wife, and anyone that knew me before the doctorate, which was 40 years ago. So you'd have to find a lot of old people.
Doc, the last time we spoke, I mentioned this to you, and now you're here in studio, so I want to tell you in person. Vin Scully retired last week. The last Dodger game was his last game after broadcasting baseball for so many years. There's a lot of qualities in Mr. Scully that I would attribute to you as well, just the poetry by which you call a game.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on listening to a man like Vin Scully? What do you get when you're sitting down and enjoying a baseball game and Vin Scully's voice is the one telling you what's going on?
Well, that's it. You sit down and enjoy a game. He asks you to pull up a chair.
Yeah.
And Vin, through all of those years, you never got a trace of politics or anything else. He was never trying to be slick, never trying to be a smart guy. He just wanted you to enjoy a baseball game. And I'll never forget, it was probably 10 years ago, I get the baseball package in the summer. I'm a Pirates fan. Sometimes that's a real disaster. But the good thing is that after they're done, win, lose, or whatever, sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, the Dodgers are just starting. Mm-hmm. He was doing a Dodgers game, and he was talking about Dodger dogs, the hot dogs.
Yeah.
He traced back the history all the way to Brooklyn, and the cameramen continued to find little kids eating hot dogs. And all they did between pitches was show more kids eating hot dogs as he continued to weave this historical thing about the evolution of the Dodger dog and how in Fenway it's the Fenway Frank, et cetera. And it was just marvelous. And in the course of the sixth inning of a game that hadn't been decided yet, it was just terrific entertainment. Someone asked him, and one of our crew members told me about this, someone asked him what he thought the greatest development of the 20th century was for sportscasting. You know what he said?
No.
The yellow highlighter.
Really?
Now, you think about, of course, this is an analog era when most of us began, and Vin, of course, way back in 1950. It helps us get through page after page of notes.
Yeah.
And if you have the yellow highlighter, you can still read what's underneath it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the thermos. It keeps hot things hot, cold things cold. It's terrific, right? And you can still read the printing underneath. And he is said to have said the yellow highlighter. Well, good for him. You have one in your hand.
I was going to give you one for the game tomorrow.
Yeah, use it. Make sure you a gift from Wendy.
Thank you.
Doc, you got to call a baseball game, a Cubs game actually, earlier in the season. What was that like for you?
It was a thrill. It was a great bit of fun. Last year, HBO Sports and Andrea Kramer came and spent a day with Joyce and me and spent a day in Chicago here and a day in Boston and did a piece last Thanksgiving. The day after, I was sitting in our little town and the phone rang and it was 314 area code. And I don't know anybody in St. Louis, really. And it was Bob. And he said, I saw the piece last night. I really liked it. I think I can satisfy that bucket list thing of yours, because she had asked me if there was anything I really wanted to do, and I told her an inning of Pirates baseball.
Yeah.
It didn't make the piece, but in her close with Bryant Gumbel, he asked her if there was anything I wanted to do, and she mentioned it, so he heard that, and he said, I think I can make it happen. We'll talk in January when our schedule comes out. I'll try to make sure that it's a Pirates game, and I'll hand it off to you in an inning when a lot of the guys you know are going to be coming to bat. And he set this up so that I could shine. That was his quote. You couldn't have had a better teammate than that, and to give you a lifetime memory. And one of the rare times against the Cubs, we won the game.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It was a good time and nothing but a great memory. And it's the last baseball game I plan to do. But it was a wonderful memory, and it's just terrific that someone would give you a gift like that.
Can I ask you, as an announcer, as a broadcaster, the pacing of baseball and the pacing of hockey are so different. How did you relegate that in your mind?
I got a chance to practice a little bit in Pirates training camp because the announcers there were really good to let me go on radio a little bit in spring training when I wouldn't hurt anything. And I went down to the clubhouse and talked to about six players, and I realized the difference is tomorrow I'll go in and talk to Tyler Mott, for example, and several of the Blackhawks. But with a three-man booth and commercials and replays and telestration and all of that, I may not get more than 10% of it on. But with baseball, if you get a story, you've got time.
Yep.
And I would imagine that in Bradenton I probably got 80 to 90% of what I wanted to get on.
Uh-huh.
So that's the advantage. You really can use what you get. Whereas with hockey, you just save it because it'll come around.
It'll
again.
Come up sometime.
Yeah, there'll be another chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it works. You're amazing. You really are.
And I've lost 350 calories.
Just sitting up straight.
Right.
Isn't it great?
And I'm having water, which is also good.
Boy, you learn stuff from our show every once in a while, huh?
I am a loyal listener to you and to Steve in the morning on my iPhone, and I just love it. It's entertaining for me, and I You guys are great.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
Feelings mutual.
Thank you.
We really mean it. The great Doc Emmerich, who calls a hockey game like nobody ever has and nobody ever will, and it's an honor to know you and to listen to you. It really is.
Thanks so much. Say hi to Steve when he gets back.
Promise.
He'll come in green on Friday, probably.
Yep.
Yes, Mr. Irish.
We'll see him there. We will. Have a great season.
Okay, let's go Hawks. Let's go Blues. Let's go, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you, Doc.
Thanks,
thank
Doc.
You.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have for you next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.